W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
At Renewal by Andersen, we love sharing friendly words of wisdom about windows and doors. And we're thrilled when our customers do the same.
We're just so happy with the quality of the windows, the warranty of the windows, the fact that I get a call every year asking, is there anything else we can do for you? Do you need any help with anything? That to me is a good quality company.
Visit us online at iHeartMyWindows.com to schedule an in-home appointment when it's time to talk windows. We'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.
Daniel, nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you. Thanks a lot.
This weekend, there will be no pre-match handshakes between teams, and the Premier League have said for the foreseeable future. How do you feel about that? And what advice is there for managers? Are you happy to shake hands with Chris Wilder before the match, after the match?
Yes, I will definitely shake hands with Chris Wilder, because I think it's important to have a good balance on the one hand to trust our specialist in this topic coronavirus and also to be careful and to use everything in order to stop the increasement of this problem, but on the other hand also not to panic too much. So I think it's important to be there with a good balance, but I totally trust the specialists in this topics, and for that I will shake hands with Chris Wilder definitely. And but I think it's also probably the right decision. There's no shake hand perhaps before kickoff, and pretty sure so after the game probably everyone will forget about this and will shake hands. So for that, yeah, so it's perhaps a bit more a sign that everyone is sensible and takes care for this topic, but I don't think it has a massive effect. So for that, it's a contact sport, football, and for that, yeah, I don't think it has a massive effect.
Do you think players will still celebrate in the way that they would like to? The way that they have to.
If we win, if we score a goal, then probably, yes. It's perhaps not so much a topic when you lose or something like this, but football is about emotions, and I think you can't stop everything, of course, but it's also important to be a bit careful at these times, and also at the training ground. So we always try to trust our specialists, our physios, our dogs, our specialists in this topic, and I think it's quite important to do this.
In Italy, this weekend and for the rest of this month, matches will be played behind closed doors. How do you view the prospect of that happening here?
Yeah, it would be, of course, disappointing. Yeah, because we play football for fans, and football without fans, it's not the great stage, and it's not what we want to. If it is such a big problem, I think in Italy it's much worse than it is here at the moment, then perhaps you have to accept such a decision. But in general, so there's always like when there's a game without fans, it's always, I think, horrible for football. Yeah, because we play football for fans, and not just about results and from the business point of view, and for that, yeah, hopefully we can avoid this, but we have to wait how it develops over the next week.
Do you need your fans, given the situation that you're in, to get out of trouble? Do you need them?
Yes, of course, and I think the last game was a perfect example. Yeah, how much fun and joy football can also spread over more like the whole community, and it was a great win at Tottenham, and we wrote a little piece of history for this club. Yeah, first time that we allowed since 28 years to go into the quarterfinal, and everyone was happy and dancing and celebrating, and this why what football is all about. Yeah, to make people happy, to celebrate together. Yeah, sometimes also to be disappointed together, but to get the people together and about this unity and togetherness. So that's why we play football, why we have this togetherness. Yeah, otherwise you have to choose an individual sport in order to have other experiences just for yourself. But football is about the team, and also to be a team with your supporters. And yeah, we definitely need our supporters.
That was midweek. The previous match was a win over Leicester. Here you are, what, 10 Premier League matches to go. Do you sense that those two matches that you've just had have made a big difference in terms of the confidence and the self-belief within the squad?
Yes, a win is always good for the mood and for the confidence, and back-to-back wins even better, and especially against such good sides. Yeah, Leicester, top-class side, and cup victory over Tottenham, also like in this manner, yeah, with the story of the game. So also in the end with the dramatic penalty shootout, yeah, it's always great for the mood and for the confidence, and we'll go right now with this mood and also with the spirit into the crunch time period of the season. Yeah, and everything is still possible. Yeah, we are still in a difficult position, without any doubt. It will be a long road to make sure that we are also allowed to play in the Premier League during the next season, but we'll try everything in order to make this little miracle happen.
21 points at the moment. How many points do you need to stay up?
I don't know. We know that we probably need to come as close as possible to 40 points. I think in the recent seasons, it was always like 38 points or something was nice, but could also be that you need more during this period. So we'll see in the end. So we try to get as much as possible. Yeah, and one thing is for sure, if you get 30 points, it would be definitely enough. So out of the last 10 games, so that would mean we will finish with over 50 points. But I think so. If you come close to 40 points in general, it hopefully is enough then, and we try to do this.
Do you think winning 6 out of the 10 will do it?
To be honest, I don't look so far ahead. So it's more like I'm just sure that 21 point won't be enough. That's for sure. We need to win a few points. And if it's with, I don't know, 5 wins and 5 draws, or with 6 wins or 7 wins, whatever. So it's more like we go into each and every game in order to win it anyhow. So it's not like we want to avoid a loss. So it's more like we go into each and every game in order to attack the game and to win the game. That's why we want to start to play football. And this is also like still our spirit in these days, and for that, so we don't look too far ahead. It's more like next game is to come. We fight for the 3 points, and that's our manner.
Alex Tetti and Timo Pukki were both on the bench against Spurs. They've been ill earlier in the week. Are they now ready to start for you?
Yes, much improved the situation. Alex was already involved, also like nearly 30 minutes or 40 minutes during the last game, and was all right. And also Timo looks much better right now, so was not too bad, and they're both away.
Okay. You talked about Christoph Zimmermann earlier in the week needing to see a specialist. Has that happened? Are you clearer on his situation?
Yes, and this is a big boost. So yesterday he returned back on the training pitch, was with us, and we have to wait a bit how his body reacts right now, and also like we have a light session also this afternoon how he reacts, but it could be that he's involved also tomorrow, and there's at least a chance that he will travel with us, and that's definitely a big boost for us in general. Also that Tim Klose returned back to team training, so it was of course a bit special week, yeah, because of the cup game. It was not like we had a normal training week, but more or less a good start for him, and his body reacts quite good at the moment, and yeah, next week we'll have more or less a normal training week, and we'll see how his body then will adapt to the load. But he looks all right at the moment, and it's good to have Tim also in the dressing room and around, and also is an experienced lad, and also good for the spirit, and he's full of motivation and really excited to be back, and it's good for the group to have him back.
How far away do you think he is from playing?
He was out for 6.5 months, and for that he won't be back just in 7 or 8 days. So it's more like for him it's quite important right now. The first step, he's back in team training right now. Next week he will have his first proper week together with the team. But who knows? So if I'm honest, it's a nice little surprise that he's available also in team training during this season. And yeah, perhaps after the next international break, if everything goes further on like this, he could be even a topic to be picked for one of the games. And it's at least good to have him back, that's definitely for sure.
And the situation with Ralf Farmer, where is he?
Yes, nothing new. So we allowed him during this week to be in talks with also some other clubs, because of course he's desperate to play, but no news at the moment. To be honest, I was also like unbelievably focused on the cup game right now, also on the Sheffield game. So our sporting director Stuart Webber is also in touch with him, but no news so far. So I expect that there will be a decision over the weekend, but nothing new at the moment.
Okay, after the match at Spurs, we saw Eric Dier in the crowd, and the FA were investigating it all. I don't want to necessarily get into the specifics of it. But if there was a similar situation with a Norwich player, would you support them doing that?
It's difficult for me to judge because I don't know all the details. And if I'm honest, if I would have to judge about my player, I would want to know all the details and also to speak with the player what has happened. So without having this detailed information, I think it would be disrespectful if there is advice from a coach who's coaching the team, who's sitting at the bottom of the table to a player who has such a good reputation and has also done so much also for the country with the national squad. I think I'm not in the position I should give advice to such a player anyhow. Of course, if it would be my player, I would definitely speak with him and then would also speak publicly about this topic. But I think I have to be respectful not to speak about a topic that is a topic for Tottenham, is a topic for Jose, for Eric. And for that, no comments to this incident from my side.
Daniel, obviously it's been a fantastic week. After previous big wins, for example, Manchester City, there was a little dip. How have you managed to encourage your team to ride the momentum, ride? I'm sure the spirits are very high in the dressing room at the moment, but not obviously get carried away remembering what happened last time.
No, we are realistic. We know where we're coming from and we know also in which position we are in the league. It's still, we're still bottom of the table and still a long road in order to make sure that we earn the right to play also during the next season in Premier League level. So for that, we're not too carried away. So it's good for the mood and I don't want to stop this feel good factor, if I'm honest, because we had also to handle a situation with disappointments during the season, and for that it's also good to enjoy the mood, but I don't see the danger that we are overconfident or lose the ground under our feet. It's more like we take this confidence, this good mood also into the next game, and we need this definitely because it's a quite difficult task at Sheffield without any doubt.
Both Norwich and Sheffield have similar squads to last season. In terms of how well they've done, do you see them as inspiring? Do you still see them as equals?
Yeah, first of all, I have to say I'm full of respect of what Sheffield United has done. And also, many compliments to the job Chris has done. I think it's outstanding, and especially for Timo's promote, they do an outstanding job. But you can't compare these two clubs at all. So because we have a completely different approach, different philosophy. Also, yeah, in terms of how we play, completely different. I think. In general, also like in terms of how the clubs were then able to spend, for example, money after promotion. So we can't compare. So I think over the last two windows, Sheffield was then able to spend, I think, close to 70 million pounds or something like this. Over the last two windows, we have spent less than 1.7 million pounds. So I think you can't compare this for that. It's also too far away to compare this to clubs, but it doesn't take anything away. They're full of respect, and I think they're doing an incredible job. It's also like if I'm honest, a bit more tricky because what Chris has done is also quite important, yeah, because they were already unbelievably solid in terms of defending last season. And he sticked more or less to his defense, and it also was a bit on the lucky side. And I'm not jealous, but also like on the lucky side that all his defensive players were always available, more or less. Like he sticked to the same back three plus the holding midfielder plus the wingbacks, like in the last season. So it's more like they used to play with each other in the offense. They were able to add also with some. They were also able to add some quality players. Also with spending some money. And for us, of course, it was a bit the same plan. But we had anyhow the unlucky situation that our key players in the defense, Christoph Zimmermann, Ben Godfrey, Jim Klose, also Grant Hanley, for 2.5 months were out, and we didn't have this defensive solidity in the beginning of the season. And you see right now we are getting more and more solid in terms of defending. It's also a big boost in terms of result then. So it's more like of course I think they've done a fantastic job, but we can't compare our situation with them. But doesn't take anything away that I'm full of respect and have many compliments for the work.
And last time round, Norwich were leading at half time, but then obviously lost in the second half. In terms of improvements, 2020's been strong. Do you feel that you know Sheffield very well and know how to, and have obviously made improvements and can learn from obviously the last time around?
Yes, we've played them several times over the recent years, and they are more or less playing always with the same philosophy and the same approach. We have, of course, many informations about them, but they also know exactly what we want to do, and they know our squad perhaps better, and Chris Wilder knows our squad perhaps much better than any other coach on this level, because we've played against each other quite often, and each and every game was unbelievably close. So there were draws, there was win with one goal for them, win was one goal for us, away wins for both sides. So in general, so it's always an unbelievable difficult game, and special game, and always both teams know that they have to be on the top of our game in order to be there with a successful result, and it's the same topic also for tomorrow. So we are unbelievably respectful. I'm pretty sure that Chris and his lads are also unbelievably respectful, and for that will be an interesting game tomorrow, and we have to be at our top level in order to get some points, but that's also the plan.
And just one on the FA Cup, obviously Manchester United won last night, and it's 28 years since Norwich got this far. How tough is it going to be to manage that balance between it's a big opportunity in the FA Cup and relegation battle?
Not that much, because there are different competitions, of course. Yeah, when you have an unbelievable load during the week, it's not that easy sometimes if one team is just allowed to stay at home and rest on the sofa. But Sheffield had also a game during the week, so I think it doesn't have effect so much for this weekend. And the next FA Cup game will be at the weekend after that. There's an international break, so enough time to calm down. So it's of course, against Man United here at Carrow Road. Amazing game for the club, and we have already written a little piece of history, but we also know that there are bigger achievements in world football than just a quarterfinal in the FA Cup. It's more like to go to Wembley and to be successful there would be even bigger. And of course, we're also greedy to be successful then, but it's not so much my topic today. So it's more like we'll concentrate in a couple of weeks on this topic, but right now we are totally focused on the Sheffield United game.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For JD Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Good.
I mean, Buendia, no issues at all. Looked like came off with cramp.
Yes, thank God. It was just a cramp. Also a bit understandable there, because he didn't play in the starting lineup for nearly 5 weeks, and then went out two games over 90 minutes and slightly longer than 90 minutes within 4 days. So, of course, a bit tricky, and with the workload, there were a few players for them. It was definitely a lot to have this 120 minutes against Tottenham. But yeah, we're not searching for any excuses, no complaints anyhow. We'll go in a good mood to Sheffield and want to be successful.
But as you say, on a broader point, not just Emmy, but the physical and also maybe the emotional, because the high was so high, everybody could see at the final whistle what it meant to the fans, the players, to the staff. How do you go from that point to try and get them again to almost a peak, 3 o'clock on Saturday? It must be very tough.
Yes, first of all, we have this experience from having important games during the week and then have to be switched on just a couple of days later. So also from the last season, because we had so many midweek games also on championship level, and we are used to do this. If I'm honest, I'm not so concerned about the load. So really, not at all. So the biggest problem was more or less the travel, because anyhow, I love our coach driver, but anyhow, I got the feeling if you have to pick one person who finds each and every road closure in whole Western Europe, he's the guy to go for. So it's more like we found two or three on the travel back and arrived just half three or something like this in the middle of the night, and the players were not at home before four, and a bit tricky to sleep. So that's the biggest problem, if I'm honest. From the workload, not a problem, because our fitness level is outstanding. Also, when I think about my midfield players, we shared the load. So I think the midfield player with the biggest load was Tom Tribal, 88 minutes. So all the others just played 70 minutes or less. So not a problem at all. Yes, of course. So for my back four, it was lots of load, but they are young lads. Yeah, Max Irwin, Jamal Lewis, Ben Godfrey, even Grant Henley is not unbelievable old. So we put them 2 days in the ice bath and they will be ready to go. So no problem at all. And in the offense, we have also some recreated players. Andre Duda was not involved. Timo Pukki was not involved. Yes, for Emmy, it was a bit tricky, if I'm honest. Also for Todd, but they're also both young and they're in the rhythm. With Emmy, perhaps even a bit, we have to be a bit more careful and have to have a late decision if it makes sense to bring him again in the starting lineup, because in the third game on this level, and there was lots of workload and he didn't play that much before, so it will be a late decision. But for all the others, I'm not concerned at all, and for that, it was important to calm the nerves a bit down, also like to spend a lot concentration on recovery and just the training, the load during the training sessions were not too much. So for that, everything's okay and we're traveling in a good mood.
Can I ask you about the top end of the pitch? Josip Drmić again showed what I think we can all see he is now, that in the box he comes alive, similar again to his goal at Burnley in the last round. How close is he in your mind now to, you know, maybe starting a game in the Premier League instead of Timu? Because we all know what Timu does offer, and as you've always said whenever you've been asked, no issues at all. I know the guy will score goals, but it has been quite tough for him maybe since he broke his toe there at Leicester. So where are you with that sort of selection issue?
Yeah, first of all, I don't see them more or less like competitors or whatever. So it's more like I judge my strikers as a team, and for me it's important that we are there with many striker goals, and for me it's not important who scores, it's just important that we are there with striker goals. And also I have to mention Adam Eder, because I think he had also a decent impact in the cup game. He didn't score, but with his movements in behind, with his pace, he created many good situations, also created space for his teammates. I'm pretty pleased with my strikers. Yeah, Timo obviously already with many goals, but also Josip, he was sadly injured that long anyhow, and for him the most important point is to stay fit. And because when I judge his last games in the starting lineup, Burnley he scored, also Tottenham he scored, and I was pretty pleased with him, because it was not a easy game for him, because he was not that involved, and perhaps he didn't look in this game that sharp like he was, for example, at Burnley, because it was a bit complicated. But he always has this appearance on the pitch that he could create something and could score, and he has this natural predatory instinct anyhow. And I tell you what, so quite often we speak about a goal, bicycle kick in the top corner, or Jamal's goal is then nominated for any prize or whatever. I would nominate this goal for a prize, because this is exactly what I was speaking about a few weeks ago when I spoke about this mentality of a Hoover salesman. Yeah, because I tell you what, as a striker, 30 times you will make this one and you don't get the ball because the goalkeeper saves the ball or put it to the other side. But then there is this one moment when you bring yourself with this movement into the position in order to score. And this is important. You need to anticipate this and you need to be switched on in order to have this movement and not to be lazy and think, okay, I don't get the outcome. Probably the goalkeeper will save this. So be patient and go further on and always have this movement and to have this 29 times without any outcome, and then to be there and score a goal, it's for me a really, really top class striker goal. And Josip is really blessed with this gift to have this anticipation. He has this natural born goal scorer instinct, and you can't learn this. And I'm pretty, pretty happy that I have Josip, and he's also different in comparison to Timo, for example, also in this strength, and they come quite a lot quite well together along, and for that pretty pleased that I have them, and Josip is always in my mind.
But with Timo, he's not going to get a break this summer because he's obviously so important to Finland, but do you feel he's played a lot of football now for club and country over this period of time that, you know, you could do with a proper break, not just the odd game here or there?
Yes, the workload on Timo was of course quite high, and was also a bit due to that Josip was injured that long. I think would have perhaps gave him a bit of rest even a bit earlier, but believe me, so as no other human being on this planet who recovers quicker than a striker who scores goals. And when Timo scores, or for example like Josip, it was the first time in the starting lineup since a while, and then to play 120 minutes. So actually, you would say, okay, he's not available at all, but there's no other human being on the planet who recovers quicker than a striker who's scored a goal. And for that, if you score, then you don't feel the load so much. And it was the same on Timo. Sometimes you have a period, you score and score and score, and it's not a problem at all. And we know we have strikers right now who are capable to score, and also Adam is a good option because he can also play on the wing and is definitely has had a decent impact also in the last game and in general. So I'm pretty pleased with my strikers, and it's more like it's good to have them all available right now.
Just final one for me on Chris Wilder. Did his media yesterday very complimentary about you again? You obviously go quite a way back now from, you know, your first season in the Championship, and he actually, the point you've talked about, that you said you wasn't jealous, but you would have liked defensively particularly not to have the injuries, in contrast, and he made that point that, you know, it's very hard as a manager. You can try and do as much as you want management wise or tactically, but fundamentally, if your best players are injured for a long period of time, it is very hard, especially in the Premier League. And he's obviously had a clean bill of health, so while he's obviously, you know, very impressed with the work you're doing, it does underline that there's elements that are outside your control as a manager, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. So in football and sometimes also in life, you need a bit of luck. Yeah, that's definitely for sure. But it's also like success is also no coincidence. So it's important to go further on, and even when there are some odds against you, so there's no reason to give up, and you have to keep going, and that's quite important. And it's more like this is a mentality that we have as a club, and also my players. So it's all odds can be against us. So we will keep going and try to make also something extraordinary possible. And of course, it would have been a bit easier, yeah, to have had all my key players in the beginning of the season, and a season develops. Yeah, sometimes when you are then there in a good position and you win points, and then you go into the next game with a bit more confidence, and you can go into a away game and think, okay, even one point is a good result, and then you go into such a game and then you even win this game because you don't have that much pressure. It's slightly different in order to go into a game in the position where you think, okay, we need to win. We need to win in order to close the gap. Of course, it's then a bit more difficult, yeah, but sometimes you can't choose. And we are right now in this position where we have to close the gap. And for that, yeah, we totally accept our situation, and we will keep going and go further on. And sometimes it's really difficult to accept that there are so many setbacks during a season like we had, not only with injuries, but there were also some other crazy things with VAR and something like this. But no complaints from our side. We keep going, and we'll see what the outcome is in the end.
In the penalty shootout, Tim Krul was doing his mind games and Todd Cantwell was doing the keepy uppies. Is it Norris in completely in control of the situation? Is he completely confident? Do you feel that finally the whole squad believes that it is off the level and capable of beating anybody now? It takes a long time for the promoted side.
Yes, it would be easy right now to celebrate ourselves and say, okay, we work a lot in our mental strength and to have this attitude and this energy, and anyhow, it was due to our great work. Sometimes you can also, although you have this, lose a penalty shootout. And but if I'm honest, so I felt the spirit during the whole game, and also before the penalty shootout, it was also like I want to give my players lots of confidence, and also like didn't ask for, okay, who takes the penalties. More like I judge it was a monologue who takes the penalties, and it's more like how to score as well. So I tried to give them a bit positivity and also believe in our strength. And I told them even before the penalty shootout, whatever happens during the shootout, in the end, the yellow shirts will celebrate. So sometimes after that, it could even happen that you have to eat your words as a coach. So it's not like it always works, but I got the feeling, okay, we have this energy, and come on, let's focus them even a bit more and give them this confidence. And thank God my lads didn't let me down. And they were fantastic in this penalty shootout.
Some of the away games have been more like the fans have gone off in hope rather than expectation, but there was a feeling you can get points away from that now.
Yes, but I have had this feeling, if I'm honest, during the whole season. Yeah, we were the best team with the best away record in last season. We had also some really, really good results. Win at Goodison Park, for example, or something like this. For us, it's not that easy on this level to win each and every away game. And especially the last home games were quite good and quite successful. But we also already a few really, really good away games and also good away results. And we always believe that we can win points on the road.
Daniel, who would have taken the fifth penalty on Wednesday?
Josip Primic was on the paper. Yes.
Great shot.
Yes. But after that, we would have given up. So it's if you would have won after five, we didn't have any more.
Okay, Grant Hanley said that Tim Poole would have taken one before he did. He would.
Grant asked me who is number six, and I said Ben Godfrey. And then who is number seven? I said then we give up. If we don't win after six, we give up.
In terms of with, say, Mario and Tom, do you have a, I don't know if it's the right word, a degree of sympathy then coming into quite a high tempo still, big game, having not had a lot of action and having to deliver it? It felt like they looked a little bit rusty, but then they haven't played much, so you almost have to kind of take that into consideration, I suppose.
No sympathy, because it's a level where we have to deliver, because it's more or less like each and every game day, we have to deliver on this level, and sometimes... you have to give even a bit more, but I can judge it in a realistic way. I know there's a bit criticism because of the performance anyhow, but I was pleased, if I'm honest, because I know that to come straight away into the starting lineup and not to be involved in the recent games and to play this game without being in your rhythm, I didn't expect them to win the game all alone. And I was quite pleased with Evans. Also, I think we also have to keep in mind that the last games when Tom and Mario and also, for example, Markus Diepermann were in the starting line, we were quite successful. And it's also like, it's not so much about the individual performance, it's also about the team performance and the team result. And they were also played their part and were quite crucial in order to let us be successful in the game. So I think Tom, the last three games he was involved, okay, it was, you can call it just cup games, but we were successful, and it's good to have him. Of course, but Mario was involved sometimes also in the league game. In a loss against Man United, for example, when we didn't look that great, but it was not just due to Mario, for example. So I'm totally happy with them. So it's, I think in general, it's important that we judge them also in the right way. I think when we are capable to dominate possession and we are capable to be in control over the game, they are top class players, even on this level, because they feel a pass, they can make look our game much more comfortable with their vertical pass. It's more like, Mario can be a genius on the pitch, the same Tom. It's more like they don't even have to see the pass, they have a feel and the sense for a pass, and this is outstanding. They're blessed with this gift. So when we are in control over the game, when we are in possession, I think they are outstanding even on this highest level. But it's also important sometimes to judge. We on this level also sometimes we have to defend, and we need some physical strength in the center of the park. We also have to defend, and there are also games when we have to defend a bit more on this level than just to be in control over the game. And for that, then we have to accept that they can't be each and every minute on the pitch, and it's always like to find the right balance. But I'm totally happy that I have them. Of course, they are not overly happy when they don't play each and every minute, and I also like to see them on the pitch, because anyhow our game, of course, with them looks fluent and also sometimes with a genius touch and something like this. But it's always like to find the right balance, and even in this game, I think Mario played, for example, also some nice passes. Tom was good in the build up. Yeah, of course, and against the boss, so sometimes we have had perhaps a few problems, because it's more like you have to accept the nature of the player. It was the same when we have to speak about players like, don't want to compare them with world-class players, but we had Pirlo, for example, or Xabi Alonso in his late 30s with the ball, they were world class. And when they had to defend, they were probably not the best choice to go for. And it's a bit with the same also with Tom and Mario. So when we are in control over the game, they are top class. Sometimes against the ball, you would go perhaps for a bit different profile. But anyhow, so they are so important for our group, and I'm pretty, pretty happy that we have them.
Did Adam open your eyes to what he can do in a slightly different role on Wednesday? I'm thinking, obviously, you're missing Anel for probably most of the rest of the season. Those sort of pacier options aren't there, and I thought Adam did remarkably well in the circumstances on Wednesday.
Yes, I wouldn't label it as open my eyes, because I trusted him to do this, because otherwise I wouldn't have brought him in on this position. But he used his chance, and this was quite important. So I know that, of course, he's actually a natural striker, but he, because of his pace, he can also can shine on the wings sometimes. And at the moment, we have a situation here when Ornel is injured, and more like we have played or have started then also with wingers who likes to come inside and play a bit more in the pockets, a bit more like a number 10, then to have a slightly different profile and to change a game with, and also the balance of the game was having a completely different type on such a position, was making movements in behind. So I think it was crucial in order like to have a decent impact on the game. And yeah, I'm pretty grateful that he fulfilled also what I was hoping for and expecting for. But yeah, he used his chance, and he's definitely also a good option right now to bring in, and also in his defensive workload. So it was quite difficult then to defend Aurier. So a player who also likes to drive forward, but I think he matched him also quite well, and pretty pleased for Adam.
Brilliant. And just finally, obviously you've spoken a lot about Chris Wilder and yourself. I mean, it's kind of funny looking back at the first time you guys would come together and how there was, you know, that confrontation of what it was. But is it fair to say that from that situation, the way you guys sort of deal with each other is as good as any other manager in England, or?
Yes, so in general, so perhaps you have to say it was not love on the first view or something like this, yeah. But after that, sometimes the biggest love develops, and sometimes then even a bit deeper. And we have a really, really good relationship, and I think we're both unbelievably respectful and unbelievably happy for him that he gets so many compliments and well deserved, and he's doing a fantastic job, and we're both full of respect. And also, like, I think it's a good way. I always speak about that. There's no book where you can read how football works or how to be successful. There are always different ways and different approaches. And when you compare their style and our style, and also the style and philosophy of the club and of our club, I think they are different in many topics, similar in a few as well, but also like full of class and full of quality what he's doing, and I'm full of respect, and we have quite a good relationship, and that's definitely for sure. So we are quite often in touch and with many complimentary text messages as well. But yeah, tomorrow we'll be competitors, and I'm pretty sure that he wants the 3 points, I want the 3 points. But like I mentioned before, shake hand before the game, also after the game, and yeah, we have a quite good relationship.
The greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.